Even though that's the theme music for Two Guys Gaming, this is One Guy Reading. Whether you're meant to or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series I am reading and reacting to the classic novel by Michael Crichton, Jurassic Park. This is the first time that I've been on schedule in I don't know how long. It seems like 2 days a week is the only schedule I'm going to be able to maintain from now until the end of the school year, so we will stick with that. And I might have to adjust the books going forward in order to accommodate that schedule. I'll see how things are going over the summer and if I can actually get done with the first two books of the Poppy War series or if I can only do the very first one. In this episode, episode 10, I'm going to be finishing up iteration 4. I don't think I have much else to say in this introduction, so let's get right to it. I feel like I have a lot of notes too, so this one might be a bit of a longer one after a couple of shorter ones. Fourth iteration. Inevitably, underlying instabilities begin to appear. Ian Malcolm. As I've been doing, I will do the summary from Sparks Notes. Thank you, Spark Notes, for that. Again, if you want to sponsor us, or even if you just want us to put you on the page and get more people to go there, although I don't know how many people will send you, but that's not a great sales pitch. I'm not a great salesman. Let us know, and we will throw an ad up on the page. Dawn. Grant wakes up to find Lex feeding a baby Triceratops. Arnold briefly shuts down the system to try to get the phone lines back up. Grant and the kids leave the shed and are caught in a stampede of hadrosaurs who are running away from a tyrannosaur. The three seek shelter on a small rocky outcropping and then climb a tree. The park. Grant and the kids go to a dock shed where they find a raft and a tranquilizer gun. On their way out, they realize that the tyrannosaurus is sleeping right next to them. They inflate the raft and paddle out into the lagoon. Lex sneezes, awakening the T-Rex. It follows them into the water, swimming after them like a giant crocodile. Just as it seems ready to snatch them up, however, it is distracted by the juvenile T-Rex, which is trying to steal the sauropod carcass the larger T-Rex had left ashore. Again, thank you to SparkNotes for that summary, and now for my reaction. Dinosaurs attack. What happens when Plan A goes kablooey? Plan B. Nobody died again in this section. So, no body count. Instead, I got the idea for this broader section that gives me a chance to use more frequently. Fear not. Once somebody dies, body count will be back to relive every detail. Now to answer the question you no doubt all have. What dinosaurs attacked? First, not really an attack, but Lex and Grant encountered a grumpy Triceratops mom. Lex feeds the baby, and Mama comes along to shepherd the youngin' away from the stranger danger. Second, not an attack either. Also, not a dinosaur. But I include it here because of the initial reaction of shock. After that reaction, Tim allows a giant dragonfly to perch on his arm. A fun encounter before the actual attacks in this section. One of them comes from Big Rex. Actually, parenthetically, spoiler alert, they both involve him. So let's do the logical thing and take them in order. This attack starts with Big Rex terrorizing a herd of duckbill hadrosaurs. The duckbills stampede towards Tim, Lex, and Grant. They run, first hiding behind some boulders. Grant then figures they will be safer in a tree and urges the kids to climb. Lex takes more urging than Tim, but ultimately they make it and watch the carnage unfold below. Another quote, not really an attack, end quote, attack provides a respite from that violence. After falling asleep, a hadrosaur wakes them up. The quote-unquote attack happens when Lex wakes up and startles them. They honk a warning before retreating. Plays out very much like the earlier trike encounter. Then they think to find a boat to use on the river and travel faster. While making their getaway, Lex accidentally wakes Big Rex and he pursues them. Grant notices that he hunts and swims like a crocodile. He gets close enough to nearly capsize the raft. But the little Rex shows up to steal his kill, and Big Rex ignores the human playthings to go back for his meal. See, a much more versatile section. Science. Not much mention of science in this section. Most of it deals with the theme of man versus nature. Sure, Arnold and the rest of the folks in the center have access to technology and they use it. But they can only watch as Grant and the kids use only their survival skills to escape, parenthetically twice, from Big Rex. So instead, let's discuss that some. Science versus nature? Question mark? I struggled with what to call this section. I thought about science versus human ingenuity. But science is a direct result of human ingenuity. This title makes it seem like the science is in a battle against nature. While somewhat true, that's not my intended meaning this time. I think I just have this tired old dichotomy of good versus evil running through my head. I try to consider nuance more, but this feels like a less nuanced society lately. That's highly destructive. It's just not a good headspace overall. An eye for an eye makes the whole world go blind. You think that would have some effect on a certain segment of the population. However, hypocrisy never bothered the true believers. But if this section taught us anything, when you back people into a corner and give them no other option, they fight. As ever, I hope that the art of nuance returns. I mean, all of this has happened numerous times before. It very well could happen again. The point is that I want to put everything into quote good or quote evil boxes. That goes against my very nature. And so, I struggle lately with these stories that present moral ambiguities. I suppose that's a good thing. After all, they tell us to challenge ourselves to expand our horizons by doing uncomfortable things. I'm not trying to sound like a hero here, just trying to, as always, put a positive spin on things. As a result of this recent struggle, it makes it more difficult for me to make arguments that I usually make. And I fell into that trap again here. Let's see if I can't climb my way out of it. Creighton, like me, obviously likes and respects science and technology. Almost all, parenthetically all, just trying to be safe because I haven't read them all, in parenthetical, of his stories feature technology in some form or another. His tone when he talks about technology or science is reverent. You can quote-unquote hear the awe in his quote-unquote voice. However, like in this section, he also clearly shows respect for humans and their ability to overcome without the benefit of that technology. Okay, I think I cracked the code. He respects scientists, true scientists, and their ability to use reason and logic. Likewise, he understands the utility and versatility of that technology. However, he realizes that tech often ends up being controlled by the people who don't fully understand the ramifications of the tech going sideways. No, you can't anticipate everything, but that sounds very much like an excuse that they always tell us poors and dummies to avoid. And, as I've said more than once, proper safeguards, checks and balances, or regulation allow for better response to potentially catastrophic events. You know, if you're into that sort of thing. I mean, who needs that sort of thing when you're, quote-unquote, the smartest man in the room, end quote. You can tell by the quotations that I'm making with my claw hands that I don't think that they're the smartest men in the room. Everyone else is just too money hungry or too much of a star fucker to tell you. Stop being such a douche and spend the money to install a net. That's all Michael Crichton and I are asking. What I liked least. I tried to find something last episode that could oscillate between hyper-focus and big picture. I failed and landed on Tim's douchey attitude towards his sister during the T-Rex finale in this section. Like, I get being scared to death of the giant killer bird lizard. Hell, I even understand blaming her in spite of the fact that she involuntarily sneezed to wake up Big Rex. We've all done something similar, I'm sure. But Tim, he just kept going. Just saying one insulting thing after another. Stupid, idiot, moron, on and on. If I was Lex, I'd have slapped the shit out of him. If Grant, maybe the same. At the very least, tell him to shut the fuck up. When I worked at Friendly's, I used to say, quote, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem, end quote. Not mine, of course. Not sure where I heard it. But effective, and I used it ever since, in a variety of situations. It fits for Tim's little tirade. Like, seriously, kid, how is insulting your sister adding anything to the situation? If anything, it's distracting by taking both her attention and, parenthetically, potentially, Dr. Grant's from the imminent threat. The whole stupid scene just rubbed me the wrong way. Reminds me of Clem from Joe Dirt. The way you're talking to my girl, it's all wrong. I need you to change your tone. Or I'll gut you like a fish, you dig? Now go get us both a Coke, okay? I didn't try to do Liam Neeson earlier, but I tried to do a little bit of Christopher Walken there, and I probably failed, but what are you going to do? What I liked best. Even though I spent several minutes wringing hands and blabbing about science versus nature, parenthetically, or whatever that section was about, in parenthetical, I liked that aspect of the section best. I mean, it makes sense. Fiction is built on conflict, right? You learn that in middle and high school English. Man versus man versus nature, etc., and so forth. So, we all think the dinosaur attacks where they ravage a person or a vehicle are cool as hell, but ultimately, they're anticlimactic. Pause. One page. Pause. Ultimately, though, we remember these encounters for the wrong reasons, because we go back and watch or read them again and say, quote, wait, that's it? I remember that being so much cooler, end quote. And then instead we find ourselves drawn to the scenes like the T-Rex escape, where they outrun the Rex on the Jeep. Or maybe that's just a sign of getting older. I know I discuss that often on the show, but it's unavoidable. We all get older, hopefully. And with getting older, your perspective of things change. Man, this is one of those times that I wish this wasn't just a one-man show, or that I was able to get more fans and attention. Most of the time I can talk and argue with myself, but with something like this, I need other reference points. Is this common, or just the way that my brain works? Oh well. The point remains that the conflict of the scenes during the Big Rex attacks are my favorite part of the section. You know that they will escape, mostly unscathed, and live to see another day. Even so, you still feel the thrill of the chase, and part of you wonders if this is the time that they don't make it. When I talk about not caring about spoilers, because if it's not entertaining because of the spoiler, then it wasn't entertaining to begin with, this is what I mean. I know I sound preachy and pretentious. Most of the time, believe it or not, I suppress that side of me. Sometimes, though, I just can't help it. I know this movie in and out. I know the differences between the book and the movie. Even knowing all of that, I still find endless entertainment from them both. When you need some gimmicky surprise or twist to keep the audience engaged, you failed as a writer. I say this with utmost love as a failed writer. And no, I won't even take the easy shot that I've taken before. You've heard me. Go back and listen again if you haven't. You know who I'm talking about. If you don't, consider yourself lucky. And now for my final thoughts. While I didn't get the, quote, hell of a cliffhanger, end quote, that I anticipated in this section, I still enjoyed it quite a bit. With the exception of Tim's complete meltdown, I enjoyed the rest of the section immensely. Besides, Tim's meltdown didn't diminish my enjoyment of the section one bit. It just rubbed me the wrong way, like I said, and I wanted to slap the shit out of the kid. Actually, that's frowned upon, so metaphorically, of course. I did want to tell him the same thing he told Lex without the insults. Parenthetically, I would have said vulgarity, but I did just use the phrase slap the shit, in parenthetical. Look, you're not helping Tim. Just be quiet. But with all of that being said, we move on to the fifth iteration now. I know for a fact that at some point, quote, body count, end quote, will be back. Also, as this is a book about dinosaurs attacking, that one is a staple for sure. As far as the rest of it, let's just enjoy the ride. As always, thanks for listening. You can find us if you haven't already at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles. I did an article on the first episode of Fallout. I'm going to do one episode a week to lead into our big celebration of Fallout in June. There's also a link to our YouTube, which has the daily RPG calendar, which is about twice a day now. I use the word current-ish to describe it. Oh, I also just did an article on Minecraft. It was nothing major. I just started a new world. I thought that having an article might make me play more, or playing might have me write an article, but I actually didn't. I'm going to do Terraria at some point this week, probably tomorrow, maybe Friday. We'll see how things go. And maybe I'll compare the two of those. I'm also going to do episode 2 of Fallout on Friday, I believe. I have it on the schedule. The next episode of this show. Oh, I started up the Instagram again. It's been kind of hit or miss. Sunday was really good. Monday, I think I got one or two posts up. Yesterday, I didn't do anything. Today, I'll try to put up some posts. But I'm just getting back into the whole social media thing again. And I'm only doing it for two guys gaming. So I got to get back into a schedule that works for me as far as keeping that updated. Oh, the YouTube. I got 43 views on my latest What's in the Box episode. I thought that was pretty cool. We're up to 7 subscribers. I didn't mention this in the latest video that I did, but I'll mention it here because I think it's pretty cool. I should be back with this series on Saturday with the first part of the fifth iteration. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys. This was a long episode.
We are...